Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanim Eric Katz, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Tzadi Dalid 94. We're continuing with our theme of how does finite mortal man connect to infinite, almighty, powerful God. And remember, in 91, we discussed someone who trusts in God is afforded protection. This is Bitachon. In 92 and 93, we discussed Emunah, faith, our deep belief that God created the world, continues to oversee the world. He runs the world through the two processes of nature and miracle, where he overrides nature. But something that confounds people and makes them question their emunah, their belief in God, is how do the wicked people continue to be successful and the righteous people are suffering? And this is not a new question. It's a question that is discussed a lot in Tanakh. We discussed it when we did Tre'asar Chavakuk. We discussed it in Tehillim. Remember Perek 73, it's called the Mini Eov. Shlomo HaMelech, he discussed it in Kohelet. And we have the whole book of Eov, which is devoted to the subject, coming up. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who is the author of this Perek of Tehillim, in Parshat Kitisa, he famously asked Hashem, Hareini Darkecha, show me your ways. And Hashem explained to him that he has the Midah of Erech Apayim, long suffering, which means there are many reasons why things happen, because Hashem is very patient. We said already in Perek 90, one day of Hashem is 1,000 years of our life. So, you know, Hashem's waiting a little bit, which is a long time for us. So we don't always see how it plays out. But it could be that somebody is wicked, but he might have done one or two good things, and Hashem wants to reward him in this world. It could be, no one is perfect and never sins. It could be that Tzaddik did something and needs a punishment in this world. It could be for the person's own character, which we will discuss further. So this perek is devoted, it's a thesis exploring why wicked people are successful. It's divided into 23 psukim, and it's made up of three sections. The first part, 1 to 7, is a complaint. Why are the wicked successful and why is no one stopping them? Part 2 are words of chachma and musar, which would be wisdom and, I guess, improvement, character development. And the last part is a personal reflection from the mishorer, from the poet, where he expresses how he personally had a difficult time and how Hashem protected him from wicked people. So let's go in. We're now dealing with the first part of exploring the deeds of the wicked. Kel nekomot Hashem, kel nekomot hafia. God of justice, God of retribution, reveal yourself. Hinase shafet haaretz, hoshev gmul al geim. Judge of the world, rise up, pay the arrogant what they deserve. This is a very angry, desperate call. Hashem, help us. There are wicked people everywhere. They're running amok and they're getting away with it. Pasuk 3, Ad masai resha'im, ad matai resha'im ya'alozu. How long are the wicked going to be successful? How long, not just successful, they're going to rejoice about it. And what are they doing? So we read in Pasuk Dalet, Yabiu yidabru atak, yitamru kol poale aven. Their words spill out with lies. All these sinners speak with conceit. So the Malbim, he breaks down each of these words and he translates them in a way that points out the stages of evil. When a person wants to commit an act of evil, first he has a thought. Then he expresses it in a rationalization with a defensible idea or a theory. Then he surrounds himself with people who think like him and who share and encourage his viewpoint. And then ultimately he feels emboldened to carry out his thoughts. And history is full of examples of this. When Paro enslaved the Jews in Egypt, he assembled his wise men and he said, Hava nischak malo, come, let's deal wisely with them. Let's come up with, invent some laws so we can get away with our behavior. Hitler was a skilled orator, and he used his speeches and his powerful rhetoric to encourage people and get them excited with his anti-Semitism, and this led to the final solution. Even today, we see people have some very interesting theories, and they surround themselves with other people, like an echo chamber, who agree with them, and they create whole platforms, encouraging each other with their evil plans and deeds. Hey, Amcha Hashem yidak'u v'nachlatcha ya'anu. They crush your people, God. They crush the Jewish nation, your heritage. This could be the actual Jewish people, could be the land of Israel. Almana v'ger yaharogu v'tomim yiratzecho. They kill the widow and the stranger. They murder orphans. So Rav Edelman and the Malbim also says something similar, shows you the progression through history of anti-Semitism. First, it starts with people oppressing the Jews with laws. You have to wear a star. You have to pay taxes. You have to live in a ghetto. Then, when they see they can get away with it, they start killing the more defenseless people of society. And when they see no one is stepping up with that, then they get away with absolute rampant murder and oppression. Vayomru, and they say, Lo yireka, Hashem doesn't see, v'lo yavin Elokei Yaakov, and the God of Yaakov is not aware. They're confident that either Hashem can't see them, or they believe that Hashem isn't too bothered with the trivial happenings of this world, and they can get away with it. So in this first section of seven psukim, be aware, it's like promulgated with words of evil people and their actions. There's ge'im and rishaim and again rishaim, arrogant people, wicked people, po'alei aven, evildoers, and then all the different descriptions of their destructive behavior. Ge'im, they're proud. Yidabura tak, they're talking harshly. Yidaku, they're oppressing. Yaharogu, they're murdering. Eight different words all describing their destructiveness. So you're overwhelmed with a sense of evil that is all over this parak in the first half. Then we move to the second half. Now we need to address these people. So even though we're talking to the wicked people, words of wisdom and self-improvement, they're not there in shul listening to the rabbi. We're not really talking to the wicked people. They're the straw man. What it is there might be people who are wondering, well, what is the point of trying to be good if the good people don't seem to be doing so well? Maybe I should just throw in the towel. If you can't beat them, join them. So we want to say, no, there is a bigger picture here. There is a reason why you should not join the wicked people. There's a reason why you shouldn't do evil deeds. But not only that, we also want to give the person who's suffering some encouragement. So the first half of the section is explaining why it doesn't pay to be evil. And then the second part is giving the suffering person some encouragement. Binu ba'arim ba'am uchsilim masai taskilo. Senseless among the people should understand what will happen to them. Fools, when will you become wise? So in the first section, we had all these description of evil people. In this section, it's just fools. Meaning it's an illusion when you think these wicked people are so powerful. In truth, they're just foolish. And what is the foolishness? First, Hashem sees and hears everything. Hanote ozen halo yishma. Hanota ozen halo yishma. Im yotzer ayin halo yabit. You think the God who implants the ear in a person won't hear you? Do you think the God, the one who creates the eye in every person, won't see you? Hayoser goyim halo yochiach, hamelameid adam dat. You think that the God, the one who punishes the nations, won't punish you? You think that the God who teaches knowledge to people won't know about the evil you do? So what they're saying is, if Hashem is the one who gives you the power of sight and the power of hearing and the power to reason, you don't think he understands how these things work. You don't think he has these abilities. Anybody who designs a machine needs to understand how the machine inherently works. So obviously Hashem can perceive everything. Not only that, remember last parak we discussed that Hashem wears robes to encase his spirituality so we can have a perception. So we actually have it backwards. It's not that we can see and Hashem can't see. It's the opposite. There is so much in the world to experience. It's too intense. So Hashem gives us eyes to see and ears to listen so we can have a limited experience. Because if we could really see everything and hear everything, it would totally overwhelm us. But Hashem, who is all spiritual, doesn't need to have it muted down for his level. He doesn't need that. Hashem yodea machshavot adam ki hei mahavel. God knows the thoughts of people, that they're nothing compared to his thoughts. You know, Hashem, not only does Hashem know what we're thinking, but at the end of days, Hashem is going to play us a very scary video, which records every single thing we have ever said and done. So first it's going to just capture our hypocrisy, where we tell people that we believe something's wrong and then we go do it ourselves. It shows us doing not such good things, which we thought nobody was looking. Times we've lost our temper, times that we've treated those closest to us in a way that we shouldn't have. And we're going to have to watch this cringy video and explain ourselves and our actions. And it's going to be mortifying. So not only does Hashem hear and see everything, but every little thing is recorded and we will one day have to give an accounting for. So now we've discussed that it's really not worth it to do bad. Hashem sees everything. We're going to have to pay for it at some point. But that doesn't make me feel better as I'm being oppressed by the wicked person. So now I want to give chizuk. I want to give encouragement to the person who's suffering. Ashrei hagever asher tiyasrenuka, umitoratcha tilamdenu. Happy are those who you discipline, the ones whom you teach your law, although it may seem otherwise. Any man who Hashem punishes is fortunate. Why? So a few reasons. First of all, suffering in this world is called yisurim shel ahava, pains of love, because Hashem gives us suffering. First of all, it purifies us. If we have something that maybe we've done wrong, we can pay for it in this world. But more than that, it makes us better people. When we go through difficult times, it softens our hearts. It cultivates empathy. It refines our character. And it prepares our neshama, our soul, to study Torah. A word for gever, asher gever, means a hero. How do you become a hero? You become the hero through going through difficult times. It's the challenges that make you. Heroes not born, they are made. Rav Soloveitchik, in his Kol Dodi Dofek, he contrasts two ways to see the world. And this is like such a brief summary, which I want to somehow adapt to suffering, but it's a much deeper, much more complex essay, which I encourage you to study in your own time. But the little bit we're going to extract for the purpose of our perek, he says there are two dimensions in this world, Gorel, which is fate, and Yehud, which is destiny. Gorel is out of your hands. You are just a being to be acted on. You are passive. Life happens and you just roll with it. Yehud is destiny. You can, with your limited abilities, make decisions and make choices. And we're encouraged to be people of Yehud. We don't control what happens to us. We control what we do with what happens to us. And there are so many people who've taken the tragedies that have happened to them and the challenges that have happened to them, and they've utilized it either to grow in themselves or to encourage other people. Unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, when somebody is sitting Shiva, mourning a lost one, the first people who come visit, besides close friends, are people who've undergone a similar tragedy. A lot of these organizations giving support to families where somebody is very sick, they themselves had someone in their family who was very sick. So you can either suffer through life, or you could take the suffering and build with it. And that's how you become a gever, a hero. Now we go to the third section, and this is all first person. And I want to point out, because remember we said in Perek Tzadi Aleph, as soon as the person started having a direct relationship with Hashem, then he saw Hashem's protection. So that's what we're saying over here. As soon as the words of the Mishorer turn personal, we feel his protection. So we say in 16, this is the last section, 16 to 23. Mi yakum li imereim, mi yisetzev li impoale avan. Who will rise up for me against the wicked people? Who will stand up for me against evildoers? The Midrash Tehillim suggests that this pasuk is expressing the feelings of someone who's being maligned by Lashon Hara. Right? When people speak against you, how are you able to defend yourself? And we know Moshe had this experience in Egypt. Datan and Aviram were two evil Jews during the time when the Jews were in Egypt and in the desert, and they reported to Pharaoh that Moshe had killed an Egyptian, causing Moshe to have to run for his life. Lulei Hashem Ezrotali, kimat shachna duma nafshi. Had God not helped me, I would have settled in a silent grave. I would have died. Im amarti mata ragli, chastecha Hashem yis adeni. When I was in great danger and I thought my foot was slipping, your kindness Hashem supported and saved me. So going back to our Yehud and our Gorel, if we choose to look our fate in the eye and undergo the difficult times, we need to know that at those moments where we feel like giving up and we can't take it anymore, and we're surrounded by enemies and we feel like we're going to die, Hashem is there giving us the strength to go through whatever terrible thing it is. So it's not that terrible things will never happen, it's that Hashem will help us to get through them. Now in this last bit, the Mishorer says, look, there's a judge, there is judgment. Everything happens for a reason. Suffering strengthens you, but that's no reason why the wicked person should get away with it. I deserve what I deserve. I hope to be strengthened by what I go through, but whoever did it to me still needs to pay. And we say, Hashem, my job is to become a better person and deal with the pain. Your job, Hashem, is to please take care of that wicked person and sort him out. V'ra'atam yatzmisem. Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu. God, turn the violence of the wicked against them. He will destroy them with their own wickedness. Hashem, our God, will destroy them. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, in his final verse of Shirat HaZino, when he's finished talking about everything that will happen to the Jewish people and how the Jewish people will grow and develop through the suffering that they go through, he finishes off, make the wicked pay. And this is our final thought. We will do what we need to do to work on ourselves, to embolden our emunah and bitachon. And we have to trust that Hashem will take care of the wicked people in the best way possible that only Hashem can do. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat, Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sha'arit HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Bobby Lehman Siegel.